So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful gospel. Thank you for this beautiful season. Ask your Spirit to move in the caverns of our heart. Change us, renew us. Do a new work in us, Lord. We praise your name. So yes, this woman had been caught in the act of committing adultery. There's no mention of the man. Thank God we're over that stage of history. But she's dragged by the men in a very unjust way before Jesus. And the accusations are flying high. She deserves to be stoned to death. It's the Sharia law. You've heard of that? Same sort of thing. She deserves to be stoned to death. And Jesus just starts writing on the ground. We don't know what he's writing. Probably their sins, you know. In nice big letters so they can see, huh? I don't know. But then he says to them that the one who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, if they go off. Because he's exposed them for the truth of their hearts. That the accusation they have against her is very much what's even in their own hearts. And then Jesus is left alone with this woman who's trembling there before him. He's still down at the ground. And he looks up at her. And what would you see in the eyes of Jesus as he looks at this woman? Condemnation? Accusation? Nothing like that. Mercy. Mercy. There was no interrogation. There was no condemnation at all. But just simply acceptance of her as a person. Now this is what we need to know about the Lord. When he looks upon you, he does not look upon you with condemnation. He looks upon you as someone who he loves intensely. No matter what you've done, no matter where you stand before him, as this woman, she obviously had sort of maybe lived a life of sin, probably. But Jesus looks at her person and communicates to her that as a person, she is acceptable. He says to her, "Where are those who are to condemn you? Well, there's nobody here. Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. Neither do I condemn you." There's no condemnation in the heart of God. No, he looks upon you and accepts you as you are, in your person. But of course, he makes you aware that your behavior, maybe, is often unacceptable. But you are acceptable. And that's what frees her, because she is communicated that beautiful gift of the acceptance of God, that she's been unconditionally accepted. And so that empowers her to go and sin no more. Otherwise, if she's heavily burdened by condemnation, it's going to make things worse. So it's important, I think, for us to appreciate this. And as we look at the heart of Jesus, we want to have the same heart ourselves, wouldn't we? Not to be harshly judging others and condemning them in a summary sort of fashion. Because like those guys who were condemning this woman, we too may very well be projecting our own interior struggle onto the other when we condemn and judge. That's why Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you yourself will be judged." Because inside, we can have a struggle that we're not really facing ourselves. And it's easy to point the finger at the other person, isn't it? But as I point the finger at Gabriel, there's three fingers pointing back at me. Right? I need to look at the truth of my own heart first before I look at others and try to sort of tell them. So compassion will grow in my heart as I actually have revealed to me the truth that I too am inclined to sin, that I too have a capacity for self-destruction through sin, that I can't take the higher ground. I am actually on the higher ground here at the moment, looking down at you. It's not probably a good thing, is it? Because we're not meant to take the higher ground in the moral sense, huh? Because we're all together only here because of the salvation that has been won for us by Jesus Christ. Without him, we would be lost. We're all beneficiaries of the mercy of God won for us by Jesus. I think I mentioned once here before, it really was taken by Alexander Solzhenitsyn's situation, the great Russian writer. But he was put in prison in the Gulag during Stalin's regime in Russia. But before that happened, he had a good friend who actually was working in the army. And before the crisis came, they were great friends. They shared everything, they had the same vision for life, and they loved one another. But when the crisis came, this friend, he went with the regime, didn't stand up against it, even though it was against his moral stand, and he allowed himself to be corrupted. And he became one of the torturers of those who were taken prisoner. And Alexander, on the other hand, took the place of honesty and justice and righteousness and went to prison for that, for years and years because of that. And while he was pondering this, he was thinking, what's the difference? What happened here? I can't say that that man is totally bad, my friend. And I can't say I'm totally good. He came to the conclusion that the line between good and evil runs right through every human heart. And so we can't say I'm the good one and those ISIS people over there, they're the bad ones. No? But rather, we all have in some way a complicity with evil inside ourselves that we need to have rooted out of us. And so we stand before God in relying totally upon his mercy. He died for each one of us and for every single person in the world because of this need that we have. And nobody can say, I don't need Jesus. We can say it, but it'd be just the one that would sort of, in a sense, take us right down. So to be merciful, Jesus says, as your Father is merciful. To be merciful is his merciful. Now to forgive, make that decision rather to sort of hold up against somebody inside myself or resentment, or to be able to withdraw any judgments I have against the other and to see the other with the eyes of the Lord. Yes, a sinner like me, and to stand at the foot of the cross with him or her and just rely upon the precious blood of Jesus to wash each one of us clean, because no one can say they don't need the mercy of the Lord. Now, during the Armenian genocide at the beginning of the last century, the Turkish soldiers basically wiped out a whole tribe of people. And one of the families, when the soldiers came in, they killed the father and mother, and the captain in charge handed over three of the daughters to the soldiers for their use. And then he took one of the daughters himself, the oldest one, and misused her as a sex slave for some time. She actually escaped. And then as she recuperated, she actually became a nurse. And in a sort of ironic way, she was appointed to be a nurse to those that had been captured, Turkish soldiers, and to nurse them to health. And one day, as she was walking around with her lantern through the ward of these Turkish soldiers who were seriously injured, she saw the face of the man who was responsible for her torture. And she knew she had to care for him. So some months later, this man, who was actually was in a state very like dying almost, he'd recovered. And the doctor and this nurse were standing next to him, and the doctor said to the fellow, "You can be very thankful that you had such a dedicated nurse, because she saved your life." And the man looked at her a little bit more carefully, and he said, "Haven't I met you somewhere before?" And she said, "Yes, you have." He said, "Why didn't you kill me?" She said, "Because I know the one who said, 'Love your enemies, do good to those who do evil to you, and bless those who persecute you.'" You see, if we allow hate to grow in our hearts, then we're no better than those who have done damage to us. We can't allow the hate to grow. We must allow the Lord's grace to come into us to change our hearts. There's a beautiful reading in the second reading today where Paul is saying how much he loves Jesus. But we have to remember that he was a murderer too. And he murdered Christians to destroy them from the face of the earth. He hated them. And he was responsible for Stephen's martyrdom and many others who were martyred in the early church. But on that Damascus road, he had an encounter with the living Christ, the risen Lord. He experienced mercy, and he never forgot it, because it was the grace of God coming upon him. When he did not deserve it or could not earn it, he received the grace to change and discover a new way of living. And he had 3 days of darkness as he was led into Damascus, but then after baptism, he knew what he had to do is simply preach the word of mercy, the word of the gospel, to those who don't yet know it. And so there we hear him in the reading today saying there's nothing that can outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing. Now I know Jesus now. I've discovered his love, I've discovered his mercy, and that's all that matters now. I live for him, I live by him, he's my life. All I want is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now he's been redeemed by the mercy of God and living out of that beautiful meeting with Jesus Christ. Just as this woman in the gospel, you know, we don't know what happened to her, but I'll bet that she actually ended up one of Jesus' followers. Huh? And she too, out of gratitude for the way she was being met by Jesus with great mercy, even though she didn't deserve it, she then takes up and becomes one of his followers. Now we must pray, I guess, in these days that we'll always be able to sort of discover in our hearts that mercy of the Lord, especially when we're offended by people, when things have gone wrong, when we're inclined to want to hate people, and are inclined to judge them as rotten and stinking people, and we'll see them wiped out from the face of the earth. At that time, especially, it's a time when we really need to find within our hearts the mercy of God, huh? I think I've told this story before too, I'm not sure. But this was in Romania during the communist regime in Romania. And a Lutheran pastor who wrote a book called Torture, he tells the story. And a Catholic priest had been tortured so badly, he was an old man, that he was actually dying in the prison cell. The Lutheran pastor was there also, and other priests and ministers were there, and other people who had just been tortured in a very serious way. But this priest was dying. And that night, to their great surprise, there was another man thrown into the cell. It was quite a large room. And he was thrown in there too. And to their great surprise, he was the man who was responsible for their torture. They'd fallen out with the authorities, and now he'd been beaten and tortured himself. And he didn't have much life left in him. And so he's lying in the cell with the others sort of standing back from him because he was such a threatening figure. But now he's crying out because he realizes he's dying. He's crying out, "I'm going to hell." His old faith was starting to sort of reemerge. "I'm going to hell for what I've done. Who could possibly forgive me for what I've done? I'm dying. And I've got no future. So he's going on like that, screaming in anxiety because he knew he was dying. And then the Lutheran pastor said that the Catholic priest, who himself was dying from being tortured by this man, asked for help, and he got two guys to lift him up, and they walked down very slowly towards this younger man who'd been the torturer. And he said that he actually started to stroke his head, and he started to tell him, "I love you. You've got to know I love you." And the Lutheran pastor said that when he was saying "I love you," he really meant it. You could tell he meant it. You see, there was a grace here. It's a beautiful grace from God to be able to love your enemies. And then the priest said to him, "If I can love you, and if these other Christians here can love you, how much more does God love you? And as much as you want to get to heaven, he wants you to get to heaven 1,000 times more. And as much as you wonder whether you'd ever be forgiven, he is already wanting to forgive you. All you need is to repent and confess." Yes. And so that's what happened. Everyone heard the confession because it was only a relatively small room. But this man who was the murderer confessed to the one he had murdered. How strange is the ways of God. It's better than fiction, isn't it? This is real, it actually happened. And so everyone heard the confession. And everyone saw the absolution of the guy who'd been murdered, absolving his murderer. How beautiful is that? It just happened, it was Christmas time. It was actually the eve of Christmas. And the Lutheran pastor made the comment, "Yes, we celebrated that Jesus was born in the stable in Bethlehem, but he was actually born that night in the heart of a communist torturer." And how much more beautiful is that? So, my friends, it's important that we take up from what the gospel message tells us, to grow in mercy in our hearts, grow in the capacity to, even those who are our enemies, even those who have hurt us deeply, who have offended us from very early years maybe, that we can find in our hearts mercy, forgiveness. We may never be able to walk again with them, but we can actually show mercy. We can actually have in our hearts the willingness to let it go and give the judgment over to God. Let God be the judge. We're not the judge. And to find it in our heart to love. The worst thing that can happen to the human soul is to be poisoned by hatred. And there are many people walking around in the society today poisoned by hatred. They've got a hatred in their heart for some person. They've closed their heart to that person. And if they close their heart to one person, then I've closed my heart to God. And I don't want to close my heart to God. So I say, "God, give me the grace. Give me the grace to love when I can't love. Give me the grace to forgive when I can't forgive. Give me the grace to have the mercy that's in your heart, as it was for the adulterous woman, as it was for so many people in the Gospels. Give me the grace to have mercy. Have mercy on us all, Lord." Yes, let us know this gift, this grace that St. Paul knew too. And let us celebrate here in this Mass that we're the people, you know, who by the grace of God have come to know his mercy. And even though our sins, but because of them, we should have been smitten from the face of the earth. But he died on that cross, and as he did it, he had each one of us in his heart. Each one. He had you in his heart as he was dying on that cross. For the moment when you will most need his mercy, the moment when you're tempted to actually hold up a fist against someone and go boom, that moment, that's what he died for. So you won't do that. Or when you're tempted to sort of speak really in a way that's very disparagingly to another person because you hate them and you just want to see the worst thing happen to them. No, Jesus died. The nails went through his hands and his feet for that purpose. And the spear went through his side, opening up love for us, flowing to us from the cross. And so we can receive this mercy in this Eucharist tonight and allow our hearts to change, open up. Not to be closed to any person, but full of love for each person that we meet. This is what we pray for. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and bless his name.